Hello, Parkside. So we're going to start off with just a little film you might remember.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
All right, so now we've all had our little nostalgic warm and fuzzy today, okay? I'm thinking most of us grew up watching Charlie Brown's Christmas, right? It's very familiar. All right, thanks to Linus, we are all reminded year after year that Christmas is not about the trees and the decorations. Oh, by the way, thanks to the ladies that decorated our church. Man, they are gifted. Let's give them a hand. But Christmas isn't about the decorations. And you know what? It's not also about the gifts we exchange. Maybe some of you are frantic now trying to make your list and figure out what to get for people and you know, whatever. It's not about that. It's not about Santa and his reindeer. We know that. It's not even about families gathering. We found that out the hard way last year, right? A Facebook memory popped up on my phone the other day, and it was our Christmas dinner table from last year with three plates on it. Three plates! Me, Eugene, and my mom. That was our bubble. But you know what? Christmas was still Christmas. It was still Christmas. Even without the family parties, without the family gatherings, it was still Christmas. Linus brings us back to the Bible and the origins of Christmas. He brings us back to the very first Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. So thank you, Linus. Now, a while back, the pastoral team here got together and tried to decide what would be our theme for Advent this year. What would be our overriding theme? It is, as we know, the first Sunday of Advent. So for those of you that are in denial, thinking, oh, Christmas is a mile away, it has started. It has started. It's only 27 days away. But the theme that we chose for Advent this year, which is so timely, is peace. Who doesn't long for peace right about now? Especially, it's been almost 2 years now, we've been living under the threat of COVID. And the strife that has erupted, between vaxxers and non-vaxxers and all that kind of strife has happened. Some of us have been through COVID and are still experiencing the ramifications of that disease. Some of us, like poor Sashi, are still very ill with it. And so, it's been a lot of hardship. And now, just recently, what we heard from Jill, our province is in a state of emergency with all this flooding and mudslides and all the major highways are affected and so many people displaced. And what, 80% of our dairy and chicken production in this province is now out of commission. And it's crazy. It's also bad. Our gas is being rationed at the pumps. Our groceries are being rationed at the grocery store. British Columbians are feeling a lot of things right now, but peace is not one of them. Linus brought us back to the birth of Christ, where the shepherds in the fields were met with multitudes of angels proclaiming a message of peace. But Linus was reciting from the King James Version, which I think leaves off a tiny little bit of the meaning of what the angels were trying to say. It's a meaning that it's a little bit that totally changes the message. The King James reads, in fact, we just sang it in the last song, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man." That's what the King James says. But the ESV and the NASB are more correct in their translation. It says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he, God, is pleased." There's a difference there. The NIV reads, "On earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Okay, there's a difference there. Some of our very favorite Christmas carols also recite the King James Version. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. I mean, it's just a phrase we know. But people wrongly interpret that phrase, peace on earth, goodwill to men. It's as if we're saying peace, it's saying peace among men. World peace, in other words. Love for our fellow man. It's a lovely sentiment. It's a lovely sentiment. It's a sentiment that makes us want to put change in the Salvation Army coin kettles. It's a sentiment that makes us want to give blankets to the homeless. And maybe, just maybe, it might make us want to tolerate our brother-in-law at Christmas dinner when he goes on and on bragging about himself all the time. Maybe. Peace on earth. But you know what? Jesus was not born in the manger so that we could all get along. Did you know that? That's not why he was born. In fact, when Jesus was ministering, he said in Matthew 10:34, "Do not suppose that I came to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Put that on a Christmas card. I don't think so. The peace Jesus came to bring us was peace with God. As one of our other favorite carols puts it, "Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." That's the peace Jesus came to bring. He came to reconcile man to God. That sweet baby in the manger came to earth in order to grow up to be killed, to be sacrificed for that thing I did, for that thing you did, for all those horrible, awful, selfish, greedy things we all keep on doing. Because God is holy, morally perfect, and absolutely pure, he cannot abide sin at all. And because he is loving, he's also just. So sin has to be dealt with. Imagine you're a kid in the schoolyard, and there's a bully there beating up all the kids. You and the other children would long for the good teacher to come on the scene and set things straight, not just to stop the bullying, but to actually teach that bully a lesson, to give him a detention or a suspension. You would want that bully punished for the pain that he had inflicted. That would be the loving and just thing to do. Likewise, our loving and just God has to deal with our sin. He has to. The Bible said that the wages of sin is death. We sin, we die. That's the reward. So here comes the good news of the gospel. Jesus took the death penalty for you, for all your lies, for all your deception, for all those nasty words you've ever spoken, for every greedy, self-serving act you've ever committed. He took the punishment you deserved. He took the punishment I deserved. In fact, he paid the penalty for all of humanity, whosoever would accept his payment. But not everybody will. Some people cannot accept the fact that Christ's sacrifice is the only way to have peace with God. They think there's got to be another way. They think that all roads lead to God. We hear that all the time. All religions lead to God. And you know, to our human mind, does kind of seem like the nicest plan, doesn't it? But that is the philosophy of man and not the revelation of God. We say the one who creates the game makes the rules, right? You create a game, you get to make up the rules. Well, that means that it only makes sense that the one who created the earth and all of humanity, he gets to make the rules. So who are you going to believe? Almighty God, the creator, or are you going to believe man? The man who's a created being and whose thoughts and theories come and go like the tides. Who are you going to believe? That is why Jesus said he came to bring a sword, as much as we don't like to hear that, because he knew that not everyone would accept him. He knew that his presence was going to cause division in this world. So he did not come to bring peace to the world between men. The peace he gives us is the peace between us and God if we will accept his sacrifice, his gift of salvation. Now, before we come to Christ to have his death pay the penalty for our own personal sins, the Bible says that we are enemies of God. I cannot imagine having a worse enemy than the one who has all the power. Can you? I don't want him as my enemy. The Bible promises, actually, that we will all be judged for the way we've lived our lives. Hebrews 9:27 says, people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. That's the bad news. We're all going to be judged. And believe me, it is not like many believe that God will take all the good things we've done and all the bad things we've done, and if good outweighs the bad, then we go to heaven. No, that's a fabrication of man. The standard for heaven is holiness, absolute perfection. Nobody rates. If you've sinned once, you deserve the wrath of God. But the good news follows in just the next verse, Hebrews 9:28. It says, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. And so, if you are trusting Christ for your forgiveness, for your salvation, you, right now, are completely right with God. You have made peace with your Maker. That is peace with God in your relationship with him. Now, when we come to Christ, not only are we totally forgiven of our sins, in fact, our sins are actually taken right off our record, we also can look forward to an eternity in heaven with God, where there is no pain, no sickness, no strife, no discord, no sin at all. In Christ, heaven becomes our very real future. Therefore, since we know where we're going, nothing on earth should be able to get us down. Any hardships or illness or persecutions we may endure on earth, we can actually see them as temporary. The Bible says there are light and momentary troubles. We have a heavenly reward coming, and that is peace with God as far as our future goes. Let me tell you a story of one of our very own, a Parksider who has fairly recently gone to be with the Lord. Her name is Viola Ewart, and she was married to our Peter Ewart here. She, Viola, was a career missionary in the Congo. And she told a story of a time when the political unrest in that country was so bad that the missionaries were told to go home to their home countries. But Viola and her colleagues decided that they would stay with the people that they were serving. They were going to stay. But there came a time when they actually had to flee where they were living, flee for their lives, okay? So at one point, they were overtaken by men with machetes who wanted to kill them. That was the plan. Viola said that she can remember lying. They laid them all out in a line, lying on the ground. And there these men had their machetes and were ready to massacre them. But Viola said she had an overwhelming sense of peace. Now, as it happened, someone came on the scene, the incident was diffused, and they were not killed. But Viola experienced that profound sense of peace with God. Church, if God is for you, who can be against you? Be encouraged. With Christ, you have peace with God. No matter what happens, you're going to be okay. Doesn't matter if the flood waters come. You're going to be okay. Doesn't matter if the forest fire takes your house. You're going to be okay in life and in death. Doesn't matter that you have terminal cancer. You're going to be okay in life and in death. You will be with God, whether on this planet or in heaven. But in the meantime, we have His Spirit. We just finished a series on the Holy Spirit. We have His Holy Spirit residing in us, guiding us, and comforting us in our day-to-day lives. We have the peace that comes with walking with God. So I asked God to give me an illustration for peace with God. And the song Amazing Grace came to my mind. I once was lost and now am found. Now we all know what it feels like to be lost. It's a very unsettling feeling. In fact, at times it can be terrifying. One time my son Isaac and I, he was a young teenager, he and I were out hiking just on the hills back here up toward the Abbey. We were out hiking, and as is my habit, I got deep in conversation, and I totally lost my bearings and had no idea where we were. And we were hiking and hiking, and all of a sudden, we realized that we were hopelessly lost. We started to freak out, him and I. It seemed like everywhere we looked, there was blackberries. We couldn't figure out how we were going to get out. There was nowhere to turn. We were lost. So I took my 13-year-old son's hands and we prayed fervently, passionately. And as we finished the prayer, I heard something. I looked up and it was a car. I could see Stave Lake Road and the car going down the road. Yeah. And then I looked over to my left and I could make out the back of the church. It was crazy. We felt so stupid that we thought we were so hopelessly lost when we were so close to safety. But that is the experience of many who don't know Jesus. They're lost. They don't know which road to take in life, and that can cause such fear and anxiety. They don't know. They're lost. They don't know what's going to happen when they die, and so they fear death more than anything else. They don't know how close they are to safety, how close they are to God. They're just a prayer away. The angels told the shepherds, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. You can have peace with God in your relationship with Him. You have the opportunity to be His child, and He will be your Heavenly Father. You can be totally forgiven and actually have a clean slate. The peace of having a totally clean slate. Nothing better. You can have the peace of God knowing where you will be for eternity. Nothing on this earth then can rattle you or upset you because you know where you're going. Like Viola, you can have a profound peace with God, knowing that in death and in life, God is with you and you will be okay. And if you have felt the anxiety of being lost, you can experience the peace of being found. You can have the assurance and security of the Holy Spirit within you, guiding you, comforting you day by day in your life. That is peace, and it's yours in Christ. Now, if you have never accepted Christ, His offer of salvation, you can do so right now when we pray. And then we're going to hear a testimony from one of our own, Cheryl Schwartz. And she's going to tell us how she experienced the peace of God in her life. So before Cheryl comes up, let's bow our heads and pray. So if you have never accepted Jesus Christ's offer to forgive your sins and to live in you and live with you for the rest of your lives, pray this prayer as I pray it. Pray it in your head as I pray it. And if you do belong to Jesus Christ and He is your Lord, pray it anyway. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want the peace that Jesus came to give us. Peace with God. Lord, I bring my sin to you right now. Whether I can think of it or not, I just bring it all to you right now, Lord, and ask for forgiveness. Please cleanse me of all my sin and make me holy before you. Thank you, Jesus, for paying that penalty for my sins so that I can be deemed holy. Thank you that I no longer have to fear anything in this life or even death because you promised to be with me. Thank you that my eternity with you is secure in Christ. Lord, may this Christmas season serve to remind me of the great gift that Jesus has given me, and may I spend the rest of my days serving you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, if you just gave your life to Jesus, Eugene, my husband, and I will be up here. If you have prayer of any sort, you can come and get prayed for, but if you just met Jesus or just surrendered to Jesus, please come. Let us know. We'd like to pray with you, okay? But before that, now I'd like to ask Cheryl Schwartz to come up. Yeah. We need a microphone for you. Let's try this one. Which one? This one? Okay. Check, check. Nope, not this one. It doesn't have enough of a cord. How about here? Yeah. There you go. Well, as long as she doesn't dance.
Good morning, everybody. Catherine texted me earlier this week and asked me to share my testimony. Would that be okay? And I was really honored. Tom just did an amazing sermon last Sunday, and it was the final segment of People of the Spirit. And it was about redemption, restoration, and the prodigal coming home, and that whole story. So it was Oh, here we go. It was really fitting that she would ask that because, yeah, I've been redeemed, you know, and so I'm just really excited to share my story with you. Condensed version, she said 15 minutes. I did it, and I did it with Laura last night. It was about 10, but I might ad lib a little bit as I go along. So, like a Tomism, Cherylism. Okay. So my name is Cheryl. I grew up in a loving Christian home and learned all about Jesus. I learned Bible verses and loved all the songs we sang in Sunday school and at church. I had a personal relationship with him at a young age. I was the oldest daughter of seven children and enjoyed helping my mom around the house with babies and all sorts of chores. When I was 6 years old, a young man came to stay and work on our farm. That's when my whole life changed. My parents would have him babysit when they would go to Sunday night service. It was then that he would molest me after the other kids had gone to bed. I would cry and scream for my parents not to go out. They probably thought I was just a brat, but fear and anxiety and anger started to control me. I had so many fears growing up as my innocence had been robbed. I was very sensitive and could feel evil around me. That the whole thing was, it exposed me to evil. It brought me fear and terror. But I still loved Jesus and I loved Sunday school. I think that was my safety place to go and know that I knew Jesus, right? My parents put me in piano lessons and I would love to sing and play for my family. And when I was thinking about that, I wrote that. It was like, it's worship and spending that time with Jesus. I'm so passionate because it's that place where Jesus and I meet. We really meet in that place of worship, right? When I was 11 years old, my grandma noticed that that person who had molested me, which was still in our life, was touching my little sister inappropriately. I then told my mom in tears that for years this person had molested me, but nothing ever happened. I felt unsafe and dismissed. It was at that time I began to rebel by hanging out with older people and smoking. I knew that it was wrong, but something was very broken inside. I had no peace, and I was looking for love and acceptance in all the wrong places. My rebellion increased into my teens, and it was though I wanted to hurt my parents by doing what I knew was wrong, the way I'd been raised. My parents would send me to Bible camp every year. I loved that experience, and every year I would just ask Jesus into my heart and confess my sins. You know, they have an altar call, and it's like, rededicate your life. Every year I wanted to make sure, you know, even though there was, you know. But at 14 years old, I really turned away from the church. I was so hurt and angry, and I think that's a real crucial age in children, in adolescence, when they're trying to make a decision which way to turn as far as their relationship with Jesus. But I didn't really have that support. I felt it was all about the rules and no compassion. I know my parents did the best that they could, but something was definitely wrong with me. I had a job at a young age and was very independent. I was in a relationship with an older guy and had my first child and got married at 16. My parents loved and supported me, even though it broke their hearts. I know they prayed a lot, and so did many of the church people. But I never had peace, and I continued to look for love in all the wrong places. And in order to fill that void and not feel the pain, I used drugs and alcohol. I lived a party life, and there was pretty much nothing I didn't do. But I know that God was with me through it all, you know. At 25 years old, I married my second husband. I had three beautiful children with him, and I love being a mom. But it was not a good relationship. It was so dysfunctional, so much. Anyway. There was a time when things got so hard that I started coming back to church. I always believed in God, but I didn't want religion. I even dedicated my kids to the Lord, but I did not fully surrender to Jesus. That marriage ended, and the kids and I moved to Mission to live with my boyfriend. But we came to Mission, which was amazing. Things seemed great, and I would bring the kids to church, but I still had a hole in my life, and I continued smoking pot to numb out. I had 4 children, and I worked full-time to support them. On the outside, my life looked good, but it was not. Things were spiraling as my daughter was hanging out with an older guy. I knew that if I didn't change my life, that she would end up just like me and having a baby at a young age. I was taking my kids to Sun Hing Do Martial Arts in Abbotsford. My brother owns the gym there, and I love training with the kids every week. I met a really nice lady that I trained with, and we became very good friends. I found out that she was a Christian. Didn't know right away, but it was like, oh. And I know that God was working in my life, for sure, that he placed her in my life. We spent a lot of time together, and she helped me a lot. But we went out for coffee one night, and I shared to her how scared I was for my daughter. I was losing her, and I felt so helpless. And she said to me, what are you going to do about it? Talk about the sword. She's like, that's what I loved about her. I began to weep, and I confessed all the things that had happened to me. And as a result of living my own life, that I had turned away from God, I was completely messed up. I did it all on my own. I wanted to live my life. Christianity and religion and all that was boring. And I wanted to do it my own way. And it was because of the hurt and pain in my life. You know, and that's so much the cause of people's addiction and turning to other substances, because there's such a pain in our life. And but God has a plan. Yeah, I was messed up. I asked Jesus to come back into my life. And at once the Holy Spirit came upon me. Like, it sounds weird, but it did. I can't explain it, but I was in the darkness. And now I felt that, I felt free, and that a burden had been lifted. I was in darkness, and then I was in the light. And that's, yes, something had changed. My boyfriend noticed something was different when I got home, and he asked me, what happened to you? I guess it was all over my face. I don't know. And I left that relationship and began a new life with Jesus. It was a 180-degree turn. I actually turned. Instead of running from Jesus, I actually looked to Jesus. I didn't want to do the things that I'd been doing anymore. Nothing. It was like, just, it was gone. That was the miracle, because I was so reliant on, especially the pot every day. That was my coping, you know, and relax when you get home, all that stuff, right? And it was like, but God really took that away, and I knew it was a miracle. And I know that my parents rejoiced. All these years of praying, the prodigal had returned. All the scriptures and songs that I had learned as a young girl came flooding back. All the King James Version, that was what I learned. And it's like, I love it because it's part of my childhood, right? I had peace, and I had forgiveness in my heart. Forgiveness, it was just like, it was all gone. It was like, I didn't hold on to anything. And I know the Lord took away my past and made me whole as I completely surrendered my life and my will to him. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light. And now he claims you as his very own. He did this so you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. And it's like, yes, we got something to shout about it when we sing that song, Joy is in the House. I'm not going to be quiet anymore. It's because he saved me out of that darkness. And I've got something to worship about and praise Jesus about, right? I know the difference, right? My daughter saw the change in me. We can say all we want. It was like, I didn't want to be a hypocrite. And that was something. Here she is, 14. And here I'm living with my boyfriend, smoking pot. And I'm saying, now you shouldn't do that. I couldn't. I was a hypocrite. I could never be a hypocrite. What you say is, you know what I mean? I'm very honest that way. So she saw the change in my life, and she accepted Jesus. at 14 years old, and that's a crucial age. Parents, like, don't ever give up praying for your kids, because I know that's a tough time. It's such a time of learning and growing and becoming who you need to be. Her life and all my other children's lives are forever changed because of my decision to follow Jesus. They can see the difference in their mother just from doing that. And it's a daily thing. It's every day I give my life and my will to Jesus. I can't do it without him. And I married Jim. And we are celebrating 19 years this year. And that's a miracle too. Jesus can restore. God does, and he will restore our lives if we surrender to him. It has been a hard couple of years, this last couple of years, just talking about the COVID and the fires and the floods and so much family dysfunction because of the vaccines. And it's just been a real horrible couple of past years. But John 14:27 says, I leave the gift of peace with you. My peace, not the kind, the fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. And I am so grateful to be living this life. The Lord continues to open the doors for me, and I feel so blessed. And I just want to say, because of my testimony, I'm working at Celebrate Recovery, which is an amazing Christian recovery. And it's not just for addiction. It's for all our hurts and hang-ups and habits that we need help with. And that's amazing. I work with Lydia Holm, beautiful women. I get to experience all these beautiful friends that know Jesus and help out, you know, with Renee and the decorating and all that. And that's only because of Jesus in my life. We think that our life without Jesus is exciting. You just wait until you completely give it to him. It's completely, there's nothing like it. And I know that. And the title today was The Prince, Peace on Earth. Yes, peace on earth, and that is what Jesus came and brought to me. And so today I have peace and contentment because of Jesus in my life. Thank you.